Well, we want to turn our hearts to this Mother's Day theme and focus out of the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 23, as our foundational verse. And then I'd like to draw your attention to the book of Exodus, chapter 2. Hebrews, chapter 11, as we continue our theme, Is My Faith My Walk? And it's fitting that we can insert mothers into that theme and that discussion. The Word of God is so expansive and so deep that it can draw all themes and subjects within its context and share God's perspective on mothers or fathers or families or sex or money or pleasure or pain. God's Word, the treasury of His Word, is so deep and so rich that He speaks to all the issues of our lives.
Yes, sir.
So Hebrews chapter 11, and let's zoom in on verse 23. If you find that, please stand as a sign of reverence and honor for the Word of God. This is a day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Hebrews 11:23. And my print is so small that I forgot my glasses. Reverend, they're right there on that heater. Praise the Lord. I didn't want to be like Tigress, I think is Lionel or the Thundercats. Lord, give me sight beyond sight. I don't want sight beyond sight. I just want sight. So that wouldn't have been appropriate to pray for. Just give us sight, Lord. Let's read. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful. And they were not afraid of the king's edict. Mm-hmm. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful. And they were not afraid of the king's edict. Let's pray. Father, open our eyes to see wonderful things from your law, from your word, from your statutes, from your ordinance, from your scriptures. Enlighten, illuminate, and empower us to see as you see, and then to be empowered by your Spirit to do as you have commanded. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Speak, Lord, your people are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We want to talk from this title, A Mother of Faith. A Mother of Faith. It was Dr. Benjamin Carston, director of pediatric neurosurgery at the Johns Hopkins Children's Center, wrote an essay entitled, There is No Job More Important Than Parenting. About the influence of his mother on his life, he wrote, Over the years, my mother's steadfast faith in God has inspired me, particularly when I had to perform extremely difficult surgical procedures, or when I found myself faced with my own medical scare. A few years ago, I discovered I had a very aggressive form of prostate cancer. I was told it might have spread to my spine. My mother was steadfast in her faith in God. She never worried. She said that God was not through with me yet. There was no way that this was going to be a major problem. The abnormality in my spine turned out to be benign. I was able to have surgery and I'm cured. My story is really my mother's story. A woman with little formal education or worldly goods, who use her position as a parent to change the lives of many people around the globe. Can you think of anyone else in the world that has more potential for a positive influence on a child than a mother does. A mother creates a close bond with her children that will last for a lifetime. Mom's influence will be either positive or negative. A mother has the opportunity, like Timothy's mother, Eunice, to plant the seeds of faith in a child that God can use, to lead a child into a life of daily walking with and service to Him. One of life's greatest blessings is to have godly mothers. Abraham Lincoln declared, "No man is poor who has had a godly mother." One of the greatest gifts you can give your children, young or old, is to be a godly parent. That's right. This morning, I want to consider the example of a mother of faith taken from the pages of the book of Exodus, the mother of Moses. If you look at Exodus chapter 2, Genesis, Exodus, it's an easy one here. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, "Now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman." Let's look at her identity. This Levite woman was a woman of faith. In Exodus chapter 6, you look with me, verses 14 through 30, is the family tree of Moses and Aaron. And I want you to zoom in on verse 20 to find out who this Levite woman is. In verse 20 of Exodus, it reads, "Amram took as his wife Jochebed," or in the Hebrew, Jochebed, "and his father's sister, and she bore him Aaron and Moses, the years of the life of Amram being 137 years. Jochebed is her Hebrew name, Jochebed. It means the glory of Yahweh, or it can read Yahweh our glory, or Yahweh her glory. It was Alan Carr who points out that Jochebed was an Israelite, one of God's chosen people. She was also a member of the tribe of Levi, from which would come the priesthood and those who would carry out the duties of the tabernacle and the temple. She was a godly woman who was, as we will see, stood for her faith. She had a relationship with God as the sovereign Lord and King. Nothing will have a more profound and lasting influence in the lives of our children than having good godly examples in their lives. And the question is, what does a godly mother look like? Well, very basically and simply, one who prays for and with her children. That's a godly mother. She is a praying mother. And if you find a mother who prays, you're looking at a godly woman. If you've lost your mother and she prayed, she left that influence and that legacy behind of a praying mother. One who studies the Word of God and teaches it to her children. She's not only a praying mother, she is a teaching mother. She imparts the truth of God's Word into the lives of her children, that her children may know who God is. Also, one who sets an example by the life she leads. She exemplifies godly living. Also, a godly woman is one who has a compassionate heart. She can be tough and tender at the same time. She demonstrates acts of kindness. And also, one who stands firm in her faith. She perseveres through adversity. She holds up under the pressures of life. She walks through the difficult obstacles that life may throw her way with confidence and hope and joy, because her faith is in God and not in herself. Her faith is not in her circumstances. Her faith is not in her children. Her faith is not in her husband. Her faith is in God. And when she has her faith in God, she trusts God to take care of her circumstances, take care of her children, and to take care of her husband. That's the identity of a mother of faith that can be applied to all women of faith. Those women who have bowed their knee to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. They too have been indwelt by the Spirit of God, sealed until the day of redemption. They have the capacity to walk like Sister Jochebed walked. And she walked by faith. That's her identity. But I want you to see also in Exodus chapter 1, her dilemma, the context in which she grew and experienced life and encountered pain and sorrow and encountered that pain and sorrow with hope in the true and living God. And verse 18, it says this in Exodus chapter 1. If you there, say amen. Amen. So the king of Egypt called the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this? And let the male children live." The midwife said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwife comes to them." So God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very strong. And because the midwives did what? Feared Pharaoh, feared God. He gave them families. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, "Every son that is born to the Hebrews, you shall cast into the Nile, but you shall let every daughter live." This is incredible. She was living in a hostile environment. Jochebed's life was no bed of roses. Born in Egypt as a daughter of Levi, she had known only the condition and the curse of systemic slavery. The Egyptians despised the Israelites and made their lives difficult. If you look at chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, it reads, "So they," the Egyptians, "ruthlessly made the people of Israel work as slaves and made their lives bitter with hard service and mortar and brick and in all kinds of work in the field. And all their work, they ruthlessly made them work as slaves." That's the context in which Jochebed grew in faith. Many of us will lose our faith in that condition. We're in conditions now that are not half as bad as conditions of saints around the world, and we walk away from God, the church, and the truth because our circumstances are not making us happy. And our main goal in life is to be happy and not to be holy. And when your goal in life is to be happy and not holy, you will walk away. Because you have the wrong perspective of what it means to follow after Christ. She could have complained about the difficulty of her life situation. She could have said, "Why me?" But she said in the words of the song, "I won't complain." Jochebed would not allow herself to surrender to the hopelessness of life as a slave in Egypt. She remembered that her work was a work of faith. She had a labor of love. And she had a steadfast hope and a God who can deliver. In hatred and fear of the Hebrews, in Exodus 1:22, it says that Pharaoh ordered the killing of all the Israelite male infants by casting them into the crocodile-infested waters of the Nile. That's the condition and dilemma this woman of faith had to live through. There was a great peril with the Pharaoh's edict. Disobedience could easily cost one life imprisonment or execution. Take your choice. We live in a world that is hostile to the Christian faith, hostile to Christian beliefs and values. While we do not have the overt persecution that many of our brothers and sisters do in the world, we still have this growing opposition and growing antagonism toward the Christian in America. But Jesus says in John 15, 18 and 19, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world, guess what? The world will celebrate you. They will esteem you and they will love you because the world loves its own. Yet because you are not of the world, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. And he said, but I chose you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. And that's why they hate you, because Christ chose you out of the world. And that world system consists of the lusts of the eyes, right? The lusts of the flesh and the boastful pride of life. God redeemed us out of this world system. So he take us out of the system and then put us back into the system to make a change. You remember people would say, if you want to change the government or change the school system or change whatever system, join that system. Be a part of that system and try to work for change, not without, but work for change within. Godly motherhood must resist and counter the pressures of this present culture. And that's what Jochebed did in her dilemma. But I want you to see not only her dilemma, but I want you to see her courage. In verse 2, it says this. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. Look at her courage. She refused to go with the flow. She refused to follow the status quo of her society. She resisted the evil dimensions of her government. She refused to consider her own life, comfort, convenience, or safety. She refused to bow to the throne of Egypt. Exodus 2:2 says, and the woman conceived, this is Jochebed, and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. The Hebrew writer tells us she did all of this by faith. Hebrews 11:23, by faith, Moses. Notice how it starts the verse, by faith, Moses. It's not talking about Moses' faith. It's talking about the faith of Moses' parents, Amram and Jochebed. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents. Because they saw, I want you to underline the word saw, they saw that the child was beautiful. The child was fine. The child was goodly. And they were not afraid of the king's edict. Look at the statement, they saw. Not with the physical eye, but with the eye of faith. They saw, they assessed, they determined, they understood that Moses was beautiful. Well, beloved, all mothers believe that their newborns are beautiful. That's not like a news bulletin. That's not breaking news here. What is the breaking news? That she was not focusing on his physical beauty. That the writers of Scripture are not talking about his physicality. They're talking about something much more than how the baby looked physically when the baby came out of the womb. The word beautiful is not a reference to his appearance, but to his appointment. Oh, help me, somebody. Yes, she wasn't focused on his appearance. She was focused on his what? Appointment. All of you were born with an appointment, if you know it or not. Even though your parents were probably preoccupied with how cute you look. But you have a divine appointment from God, right? Because he chooses us before the womb. Come on. He chooses us before the foundation. So we came out of the womb already appointed to meet God. And God, by his grace, drew us to himself through Jesus Christ. When you heard the gospel of your salvation, you believed and you were sealed until the day of redemption. At that point. So what they saw, what Amram, the father, and Jochebed, the mother, saw in this newborn baby was not appearance. They saw divine appointment. They saw that God's hand of providence was on baby Jesus, baby Moses. What was on baby Jesus too? He came out with a divine appointment. Can I just add, when you were a baby, it was on you too. God's divine appointment was on your life. They saw the promises of God to Israel finally coming into fruition. Yeah. They saw completion coming to what they were desiring for 430 years. They saw God's sovereign hand on this child. The hand of God was heavy on him. Oh, you remember Star Wars? When Obi-Wan Kenobi first met that little boy Anakin, and he told someone, the force is heavy with him. Oh, they saw that little baby, Moses, and they said, the power of God is heavy with him. The power of God was on him. The power of God protected him. The power of God nurtured him until he became an adult, right? And when he became an adult, he came to himself, understood his position and his appointment in life. And he tried in his own strength to bring about deliverance. And then that led him out into the wilderness, right? And in the wilderness, he learned for 40 years about his divine appointment at birth. And he came back an 80-year-old man, empowered with the Spirit of God and the Word of God to deliver the people of God from captivity. Mm-hmm. That promise, beloved, is found in Genesis 15, where God cuts a covenant with Abraham, and he puts Abraham to sleep, and he walks through these cutted animals. You know, in the Old Testament, they would cut the animals and spread the body parts apart, and the two people that's making an agreement, they will walk through the carcasses. But God don't trust man, because man can't be trusted. God put Abraham to sleep, and God walked through those cutted animals himself, and he declared by his own name that he will make what he said to Abraham come true. Oh, my goodness. Y'all not with me today. So when you look at Genesis 5, 13 and 14, Genesis 15, 13 and 14. I want you to see this. This is rich. Let's start with 12. It said, as the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abraham. That was God putting him to sleep with divine anesthesia. Thank you, brother. And behold, dreadful and great darkness fell upon him. Then the Lord said to Abram, know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land, just go ahead and say it's Egypt, that is not theirs, and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for how many years? 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions. Beloved, this is what Jacob saw with the eyes of faith. In Exodus 2:24, it says, and God heard the groaning of his people. And God did what? God remembered, in Exodus 2:24, God remembered his, what? Covenant with Abraham. That same covenant that's written in Genesis 15. He remembered that covenant with Abraham 400 years later. With Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. By faith, Jacob what? Understood that God's sovereign purposes for Israel will find its fulfillment in the child Moses. She lived, beloved, by faith. She didn't walk by sight. She trusted in the sovereign purposes of God. And seeking to preserve Moses' life, she saves Israel's future lawgiver and the leader that led them out of Exodus. I mean, led them out of captivity. So by faith, this mother was willing to obey God rather than man. You know, sometimes when parents have to do the difficult things in child rearing and parenting, the child would say, well, you know, in school, I learned that if you spank me, if you put your hands on me, I can call the cops and they will arrest you. I say, obey God rather than man. Because a child that's not disciplined, that's not corrected, is going to be a bear. And they're going to grow up and be a criminal. And they're going to grow up and break your heart. Some say that children start off on their mother's lap And then they're heavy on their mother's heart as they get older. Beloved, what a truism. When we don't do what God calls us to do as parents, you spare the rod, you spoil the child. In Acts 5:29, the apostles were commanded not to speak in the name of Jesus any longer. And they responded as men of faith, like this woman of faith, Jochebed, responded. They said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Beloved, her identity, the glory of Yahweh. Her dilemma, slavery. The killing of the firstborn of her ethnic group. But her courage to go against the grain, to do what is not popular, but to do what is right. But I want you to see her faith. In Exodus 2, verses 3 and 4, I want you to see her faith. Are you with me? Am I going too fast? Exodus 2, verse 3 and verse 4. It says, when she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes, dabbed it with the bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it, placed it among the reeds by the riverbank. And we know that was the assistant of his sister who helped with that process. And his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Look at Jochebed's faith. Jochebed had faith in God's protection because she knew that her son was divinely appointed by God to deliver Israel. She had that insight and knowledge when she saw him come out of her womb. Only because she trusted the Lord could she abandon her son rather than see him killed. She believed that God would take care of the child, Moses. It was Isaiah 7:9 who says, if you do not stand firm in your faith, then you will not stand at all. Beloved, if we don't stand firm in our faith now, when will we? I mean, now that it's sunny out in America, right? Now that we have freedom of speech, freedom of worship, freedom of assembly, freedom to speak our mind about what we believe, about our viewpoint on the world. Right now, it's sunshine for the Christian in America. But it's gloomy and dark in other places of the world where they don't have freedom of assembly, freedom of speech, freedom of access, freedom of protection. They don't have those things. But, beloved, we do now. And I want to ask you a question, male and female. What are you doing with your freedom? How are you using your freedom to advance the kingdom of God? How are you using your freedom to influence your friends and family and foes to know Christ before it's too late? How are you using your freedom to be light and to shine the light and the glory of God before the world? Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. How are you using your freedom? Freedom is not to do anything you want to do. Freedom is to do what God has called you to do. Freedom is the responsibility to fulfill God's purposes for your birth, yes, sir. For your existence. Yes, sir. The reason why you're here is to bring him glory, to advance his kingdom, to see men and women, boys and girls, come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. What are you doing with your freedom? If you don't stand firm now, you'll never stand firm. In the midst of dire circumstances, Jochebed fully entrusted her child to God's safekeeping. It was Dr. Paul Chappell that states, God was able to work in this situation as a result of Jochebed's faith in him. As children were being murdered around her each day, she simply said, God, I don't understand why you are allowing this or what you have planned in all this, but I trust you. Here is my son. I entrust him to your sovereign care. If we want God to work in our lives and our families, our local churches, we must put our trust in God. And we must put our faith into action. God will not and cannot work in our lives without our placing trust in Him. You remember Jesus couldn't even perform miracles because of the lack of faith. I mean, that's in his hometown of Nazareth. That's among his ethnic people, the Jews. But he went to Gentile areas and he said, I've never seen a faith like this in all of Israel. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. In the words of Mary McLeod Bethune, she said, without faith, nothing is possible. With it, nothing is impossible. You must put your faith in God. Not faith in faith, not faith in your answered prayer, not faith in your good works, not faith in your tithes and offerings, not faith in your physical acumen, your intellectual acumen, not faith in your beauty or your bronze, but faith in God. And when you put faith in God and you don't lean to your understanding, but you acknowledge Him in all your ways, God will make your path straight. He'll do what He's called you to do. That's her faith. Oh, her faith was powerful. But I want you to see here, lastly, her reward. It's in verses 5 through 8. Look at her reward. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to battle at the river, to bathe at the river, while her young women walked beside the river. And she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it. When she opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. So she knew who it was, a Hebrew child. She knew what the Pharaoh said, but she didn't follow the edict. And she was an Egyptian. Sovereignty of God, beloved. God moved on her heart. God gave her compassion for the child. God moved her with compassion and moved her to action to protect that Hebrew child that she knew the Pharaoh said kill because he was a male child. Look, then in verse 7, then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you? Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. So the girl went and called the child's mother, Jochebed. And Pharaoh's daughter said to Jochebed, take this child away. Well, she just sent it to the river. Now she gets it back out of the river. Thus Moses' name, out of the water I drew you. This is amazing. Now listen. Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. Oh, my goodness. A mother getting paid for taking care of her children. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? My. When the child grew older, that's about 6 years old, beloved. She brought him to Pharaoh's daughter at 6 years old after imparting Yahweh God in him, telling him about who he was, revealing to him his divine appointment. Oh, my goodness. I got to go. Listen. When the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses because Pharaoh's daughter said, I drew him out of the water. I want you to see the reward of this godly, faithful mother. She gave up, listen, what she could not keep and received back more than what she gave. She gave up the child, got the child back with a paycheck. I mean, come on, somebody. That's incredible. Won't he do it? Jim Elliot states, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. It was no accident that when Pharaoh's daughter saw the beautiful boy and heard his cry, that she had compassion on him. It was God's sovereign providence that caused Pharaoh's daughter to save Moses. Moses, and to ask Jochebed, his mother, to nurse the child and receive wages. Beloved, not only was Jochebed's infant saved, but she was paid to care for him until he was weaned. This is the PowerPoint. If you get nothing else out of this message on the mother of faith, get this. God always rewards obedient faith. Yes. Not a said faith, but a real faith. A faith that acts. Not just a faith that confesses. In America, we're satisfied with just confessing things. Well, I confess this and I confess that and I can. But are you willing to obey what you confess? Because God is only going to bless what you do, not what you say. Because that's real faith. Can I say that's real love? Love is not what you tell her. Love is what you're willing to do for her. Come on, somebody. Come on, women. Y'all should be clapping right now. You can't keep telling your wife, I love you, honey, and don't put her first. Well, I love you, baby, and then you spend time with your sports, and you spend time with your yard, and spend time with your car, spend time with your friends, and you say, well, baby, I do love you, but you don't have no time for her. See, this is what's wrong with Sister Steph Curry. Sister Steph Curry, he ain't spend no time with her. So she gets out into social media and talks about it because she feel left out of the game. Come on, somebody. See, God always rewards, not God, I love you, but God, I love you enough to obey what you say. The measure of our faith is demonstrated by our obedience. You can run from obedience, young people, but eventually you have to bow to its reality. You can resist obeying God, and you can be content with, I feel that love in my heart for Jesus. But Jesus said, if you love me, John 14, 15, will you keep my commandments? Love is not enough if there's no obedience. It's just the word that songwriters sing about. And they don't even live up to the songs they sing. Study their lives. A wreck romantically. A wreck family-wise. A wreck with their children. They can sing and make us feel good about love, but they don't know love. They know poetry. They don't know the power of love. The power of love is willing to obey, to submit, and to surrender to the will of God for the family. It was Jochebed's love, faith, and courage that saved her child from a cruel death and preserved him to bless the world. Jochebed was a godly mother who laid the foundation for Moses during those first 5 or 6 years of his life. Jochebed was the chief influencer of Moses' life in those early formative years. Jochebed's love, faith, and courage brought that reality about. Hebrews 11, we'll end here. Verse 24 through 27 tells us this. By faith, Moses. Now we're talking about the child who's a man that was nurtured and built up in the faith by this woman named Jochebed. It says, by faith, Moses. He saw the example all his life. By faith, Moses. He's 40 years old now. He's heir to the throne, but he chooses slavery. Oh, my God. You're heir to the riches of Egypt, but you choose poverty. Where did he get that lifestyle from? Where did he get that example from? Jochebed. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he looked, this is perspective, for he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Oh, beloved, you better mark that. He didn't fear Pharaoh. But you finish with Cecil B. DeMille's The Ten Commandments, you'll think he was afraid. And that's why he ran. He was not afraid. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That's the God that said, I am that I am. The Lord Jesus Christ. A mother of faith, let me end here. A mother of faith is known by her identity. Not just who she is, come on, but whose she is. Her dilemma validates her faithfulness. Because you won't see the faith if you don't have storms. You won't see the faith if you don't have struggle. You won't see the faith if you don't have the floods and the winds and the waves of life beating upon your faith. You won't know how your faith would last, would stand up. You don't know how strong your faith could be if you didn't go through the storm. You won't be able to see your faith. She saw her faith, and her faith was validated. Her courage rose to the challenge. She was fearless. She was not afraid. Her faith was dependent on the promises of God, and her reward would be a blessing, not only to her, but to those whom she loves. That's a mother. That's a saint. That's a woman of faith. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this Mother's Day. Thank you for these women of faith at New Life Community Church. Thank you for the women of faith all over this city, all over this state, all over this country, and all over this world. Women who have bowed the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. Women who have been sealed and possessed by God, by His Spirit. Women who realize their need for Him. And we pray, oh God, that you will use these women of faith, these mighty women of faith, to impact other women, other girls, with a saving message of Jesus Christ. Thank you for their identity because of whose they are. They belong to you. They are your daughters. They are daughters of the Most High God. And we pray your blessings upon them. Whatever their dilemma may be today, may they trust you fearlessly in the midst of it. Give them courage, God, to do what is right, to go against the grain, even if it's making a few folks unhappy. Make her holy in all of her decision making. And Lord, help her faith to be validated by remaining true to your word, to your will, and to your way. And then give her her reward in due season. Lord, that she may bask in the glow of your glory, your goodness, and your grace for her. Thank you this day for mothers.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Amen.